140 years ago today, a band of guerrilla fighters moved into the town of Lawrence, Kansas, and set it on fire. They destroyed the town and killed more than 200 men and boys. The raid led by William Clark Quantrill came in the middle of the Civil War. And even today, the story bitterly divides people along the Kansas-Missouri border. NPR's Greg Allen reports.
Outside of Kansas, William Quantrill's raid on the town of Lawrence is not well known, except among history buffs. It came after more than a decade of fighting between anti-slave free staters who settled in Kansas and pro-slavery bushwhackers from Missouri. But the massacre in August of 1863 far exceeded anything seen before.
Get up.
Paul Stewie is a high school history teacher who conducts horse-drawn trolley tours of the area where Quantrill and his raiders wreaked havoc. Today, more than a dozen tourists, most from out of town, listen to Stewie as his trolley meanders through Lawrence's tree-lined streets. The horses stop in front of a house where he describes one scene from the massacre. Four young men, barricaded inside with their wives, were convinced by a group of the raiders to come out and surrender.
But once they got out here, you can picture their wives back up on the porch. They opened fire and killed them. This was in cold blood. They weren't resisting. They were unarmed. They just shot them down here in front of their women.
In all, some 200 men and boys were killed in Lawrence that day. William Quantrill and 400 men, rebel sympathizers from Missouri, rode into town at 5 a.m. and set about systematically killing, looting, and setting fire to a community known as an abolitionist stronghold. Stewie concludes his history tour at the Eldridge Hotel, the new hotel rebuilt on the site of one of the many buildings destroyed in the 1863 raid. Inside, he says the ruthlessness and efficiency of the killing and destruction led one historian to dub Quantrill the bloodiest man in American history.
This was an atrocious event, 4-hour massacre of unarmed men going door to door, murdering them in front of their wives and children, looting their houses. It's something that's hard for us to imagine today.
Lee's Summit, Missouri is about 50 miles due east of Lawrence, and it's here where many of Quantrill's raiders were based and where some are buried in the city cemetery. Donald Hale is a local historian and author.
This is Cole Younger's grave. He died in 1916.
Cole Younger and Frank James, two raiders who went on to later fame as bank robbers, rode with Quantrill. Jesse James, Frank's younger brother, rode with another rebel guerrilla troop. Hale became interested in William Quantrill after discovering he was descended from a raider. His great-grandfather had been in Quantrill's group. Hale helped form the Quantrill Society, a group of history buffs and other descendants. In this part of Missouri, Hale says, people regard Quantrill in quite a different light than they do over in Kansas.
He was a hero here to the people here in Jackson County. It wasn't for Quantrill, it might have been a lot worse. I mean, the people were treated bad enough anyway as it was, but they did have somebody to stand up for him, and that was Quantrill.
During the Civil War, eastern Missouri was occupied by federal troops engaged in a guerrilla war with Quantrill and other so-called bushwhackers. Hale says for some people in eastern Missouri, the federal occupation is still a bitter memory.
They imposed rules and regulations that made it almost impossible to live here. You had to choose sides. Of course, a lot of the people wanted to be neutral, but they couldn't be neutral. They had to either join Quantrill's guerrillas or leave the state.
Hale talks about the many raids conducted in Missouri by Kansans who came over to loot, burn, and to free slaves. He says Quantrill's raid was distinguished mostly by its size and success. All but a few raiders escaped unharmed. Over in Lawrence, Paul Stewie says he receives letters from Missourians who sometimes make that same point.
You know, usually they end with something like, Lawrence had it coming. There's still some resentment there, and it goes back to this earlier time.
One measure of William Quantrill's celebrity and notoriety is what happened to his remains. They were exhumed shortly after his burial, and some of Quantrill's bones eventually made their way to the Kansas Historical Society. In 1992, they were handed over to the Sons of Confederate Veterans, who gave Quantrill a full military burial. Historian and raider descendant Donald Hale was one of the pallbearers. Greg Allen, NPR News, Kansas City.